Rib Robbins? Ann Rose Lane? A.C. Bird? Rob Robinson?
Here.
Serena Shapir? Sarah Mandawa?
Yes.
Rosalinda Palacios? Okay. Mary Bird? LeVar Williams? No. Patty Heffley? Mary Bird? Lisa Davis?
Present.
Ray LaForeth?
Yes.
Bob Letterer?
Here.
Alan Minsky? David Adelson? Don White?
Here.
Olivia Brazan? Is not present. Teresa Allen here. Sandy Wyman?
Here.
Ken Freeland?
Here.
Deb Shapto?
Here.
Rick Guma?
Here.
Lonnie Hicks?
Lonnie's here.
Okay, we'll have to come back to him. Serena Shapir? Is there anyone that's here now that has not heard your name? Could I make one announcement? We will be getting to the minutes to approve them, and everyone should have a copy of the January 27th to 29th. 2006 minutes that were prepared by Mary Bird, Secretary Pro Tem. If you don't have them, please tell me now before they get shuffled under other papers. Thank you.
Okay, well, this is a public session. The reason you don't see very many board members here is because they have some food poisoning and stuff like that. And so they have just out of permission, and closing the chair. So the chair has asked me to take on this responsibility for this section and run this meeting for some time until he gets well and comes back. So the first thing we're going to do is the checkout time is being negotiated because people have been there. Usually our normal checkout time is 12 o'clock from here, so we take our luggage and either put it over here or in the story down below. So our CFO is negotiating with the hotel to see if we can check out time and we can change. All right, and so you let us know what time is what. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. All right. So good. So we start with our report, and the report is for 30 minutes, which is by our CFO, Lonnie Hicks. Lonnie?
Scrambled eggs. That looks good, scrambled eggs. Follow her. Yeah. I'll do a report on Pacifica Network Finances for the first 4 months of fiscal. It's the only one before you have January in your board packs. I want to say thank you to LA, especially to the technical people. Hey, Brent Herstand, for working so hard to get us set up here. I won't mention the hotel. A board member asked me if I could do an upbeat report. And I went into a deep trance. So I'm trying to do an upbeat report, but I realized I wasn't going to be fully able to do that. So what I decided to do was do half upbeat and then half downbeat, just to keep balance in the end. Okay, well, what I want to do is very quickly give you an idea of how we look in February, And you all have access to my detailed report, which is on the internet, pacifica.org, it's in your board papers. And what it basically says, I won't read the report to you, but I want to focus on what I consider the issues that will challenge us. The first part is at the point we are in your report in January, the network showed $153,000 positive variance, that is to say, we showed $153,000 on projection to September 30th above our budgeted amount. It sounds like good news, but there's always a but in finance. And the but here is that a good part of our surplus for this fiscal is being generated by gifts that we have booked. We had a $750,000 gift that is part of this projection, and WBAI had a $100,000 building fund gift. The good news is that those gifts were received. The bad news is they won't cash the $100,000 gift to us over time, 5 years, and a $750,000 gift is restricted, that the principal can't be saved. And the gift can't be accessed, only for interest. The principal cannot be paid, so it's not really $750,000 cash. Were it not for those two gifts, our financials, this fiscal would be negative. That is to say, you take out the $850,000 of what we show in the reports, and we haven't shown them this other account, we would have a much smaller surplus. But I think that's this year. And I won't belabor that I think we can muddle through this year. It is next year I want to concentrate on. So let me move right to that. As you know, with our new budget format, we are beginning the budget process early this year, so by May, we will have draft budgets. That is to say, we will start to publish draft budgets by the end of May. Of course, the draft will be happening all through April next month. So next year, for the budget process, begins next month. Now, what do we see as challenges for this budget process? And this is what I want to focus on. As you folks look at the budgets at the LSD level, GMs, and also I'll be looking at the CFO, ED, anyone that has an input into the budget process, you all recall that we have asked that stakeholders at Pacific to identify their budget priorities. Here are the challenges. As you look at budgets, you should ask your GMs about this. So these budgets include what will look like actual expenses that we will likely incur. So we want to make sure it's not left out. Let's take a look at the list. Revenue. We know that revenue is a specific revenue in the public radio world has been flat for 3 years. And it's likely that our trend will not only continue, but likely reverse. We've seen reductions in public radio revenue. The same process is happening at the but we will likely see less business support revenue for next year, not more, and not flat. We're already seeing that trend this fiscal. If you look at my report, you can see that business support revenue will be down against budgeted projection by 1.2%. 1.62. So we're following the trend of public radio. We're seeing that just flat revenue, but reduced revenue. That scares me more than that. It's one thing to be flat. It's another thing to be in reverse. So revenue projection next year have to be looking very closely and not taken in face value, and have to be seriously questioned. Cannot accept, oh, we just increased revenue and deal with expense overages. Revenue is not the way out. The growth is not necessarily going to be the way in which we make the budget next year work. So look at the revenue figures carefully. We are committed to election year programming. Election year programming, there are two election years that are going to be happening. One is the congressional elections at national, but there's also our internal elections. Internal elections cost $250,000. Who will pay for the election? The stations. The stations therefore have to budget for the emissions. How much will each station budget? Here's the formula we have used in the past. So when you look at your budget, you can see if there's been an adequate amount budgeted for each station. Normally, the larger stations, I, K, and A, are charged 25%. They're considered the larger stations. And the smaller stations, I, W, and T, are 12.5%. So you want to save 12.5% of that $250,000 in the budget. That tells you whether it's been adequately budgeted. There is, that's the internal. But the external budgeting, that is national programming, which we have talked a lot about, also has a cost. That is, if we looked at 2004, saw that we had to cover the national elections that were occurring at that time, and we saw that there were expenses associated with covering. The same would be true for the national programming that we're discussing. We will cover the 2006 elections, and there will be an expense connected with it. How much? We covered the 2004 election, which we spent $100,000. This time around, when we looked at hearings covering national events, we began the process of looking to see if we could solicit support and funding for those national programs as we would do it. And then we did. We raised about $30,000 by asking listeners to support the kind of programming that we were bringing to them that is national programming. We will need a way, as we look at national programming, to build in fundraising to pay for some of that. If we do not build it in, then the cost will devolve to the stations. So where will the budget be? We're talking Spanish language programming. That certainly is on the table, although we don't have a budget. Question, how much will national Spanish language programming cost the network? The original budget, those of you that look back at race and nationality, it can cost with the staffing pattern that we've seen in the latest proposal, it can cost anywhere from $45,000 to $200,000. That is for an hour show, three or four staff people. That's going to be produced nationally. So that is an unknown. We get a budget, we have a better idea. But it certainly will not be $45,000. You may rule out initially, but if it goes to an hour, it goes with the staff that's on paper, it could be $100,000 easily. Most of that is not budget. We have budgeted 45. That is, we've identified where 45 of that might come from, but we haven't identified where the remainder might come from. Free speech radio news. You're all familiar with this conundrum. As we go into negotiations with free speech radio news, what we need to be mindful of is what kind of financial considerations may come out of those negotiations. They're looking for further financial support. And of course, a number that we have looked at in the past, ranges anywhere from $200,000 to $400,000. Question, where will those funds come from? And how will they be raised? Same issues, and who will pay? That needs to be budgeted for. If we have a settlement, have an agreement, then it has to go into this next budget. Legal expenses, we talked about those. But they are for certain, most of them are station specific, but they do affect the entire network. A settlement, maybe $300,000 in a particular station, $200,000, $100,000, we have legal expenses from the FCC that we discussed. The package is unknown at this point. We mentioned CPB in terms of loss of potential loss of funding. We're all working hard to make sure that doesn't happen. But exposure on the CA, the Community Advisory Board level, is station specific. That is, if a specific station does not have a Community Advisory Board, it alone is affected. So some stations might lose the entire grant, about $500,000 for some stations. The ones that are related to the board are a different issue, and the number we've seen is 352,000. So there's an exposure there. Then finally, there's some what I call ready or not expenditures. These are expenditures that I expect we will have, whether we're ready for them or not. One will be the onset of the union contracts. That is, we negotiated those contracts, but we haven't seen a full year's expense connected with those contracts, and that will happen next year. So you want to ask your GMs, are the union contract increases included in the budget? So you can see that they're covered. Digital conversions. Some stations are looking to have that digital conversion occur, and they will not budget for it. Even if they have budgeted for it and have a grant, say $79,000, they need to match, in some cases, those grants, and the match monies have to be identified in the budget. Compensation for our capital needs, that is renovation, needs to get the basement fixed, KPFA has some renovations that are on the table for them. The transmitter breaks, you have to get the transmitter fixed, whether you're ready for it or not, and whether you budget for it or not. So each budget should have a capital contingency fund where it's foreseeable that some of these capital needs will come up. We are now looking at other expenses that may or may not come to budget, affiliate supports. We've talked a lot about need to increase our support for the affiliate program. Well, what will the dollar figure be for those supports, and where will those dollars come from? Training, we're talking about training for ADA. We're talking about training for race and nationality. We're talking about training in two or three areas. Those dollars have to be identified and placed in the budget context. We're looking to upgrade our accounting package, $20,000. We're looking at a shortwave radio proposal that is on the list to be discussed by the board. And we certainly want more outreach. We need to look at how the network station by station can reach out to the community and do community development, can look to cultivate listeners. We talked a lot about youth, what's going to be our youth strategy, but it should be in the budget if it's going to have some real possibility of happening. So I would ask about that. Are we going to do outreach, increase those efforts? Are we going to try to reach you? Are we going to try to reduce the conundrum where we're getting more and more dollars from fewer and fewer listeners who are aging? That is our basic problem. So, grand total, I call these additional items that may need to be looked at for the budget in a scenario where there is flat or reduced revenue. How much does it come to? The things I've mentioned, $2.1 million. That's what they come to. $2.1 million. That's what it comes to. So what's the number? I want the number to achieve some of these goals in the next budget. Next month is $2.1 million. And how will we get it done? Is it all gloom and doom? Some. But it's not entirely. We can, as I say, raise money on the air to pay for national programming. We have demonstrated capacity to do that. We have demonstrated the capacity to help offset the election costs. I think we asked some listeners to help offset the costs for internal elections, and I think WBI raised $18,000. So it is possible to offset those expenses. Items around Spanish language programming, maybe there can be phased approach to it, phase it in so that the costs are rolled through on a pay-as-you-go or affordable basis. FSRN, it's possible, I think, during the negotiation process to adopt a phased approach so that the costs don't operate at once and can be rolled through over a period of time. Legal expenses, not much you can do about it. I don't see much way to reduce legal expenses other than a staff trouble. The CPD exposure, you all know the timelines on that. We will know soon. As I said, we've been meeting with those folks in Washington next month. So, the challenges are clear. We will muddle through this year. we will be okay. But it's next year, in terms of what we're able to put down on paper in the next 30 to 60 days in the form of a draft budget, we will find that some stations will have a deficit. They will not be able to find the funds that we're discussing. And they will be faced with the dilemma of what to do. Some of them that have reserves will have to dip into those reserves in order to pay for it. And some of those that do not have reserves will have to find other ways to make up the difference. Increase revenue or reduce expenses. It's the same formula, doesn't change. Increase your revenue, reduce expenses. Now, the third alternative is that some stations will have to rethink the model of how the station does business. What does that mean? Am I over the time?
Well, you know, just finish up and then we'll have a couple questions.
The other alternative is some stations, I believe, will have to start looking at, is this model in these scenarios, is this financial structure, is this construct going to be sustainable in a reduced revenue scenario? So what do we do? I'll leave it there to press everybody.
Thank you. Okay. We'll have about 10 minutes of question.
Ronnie, I'd like to ask you to state for the benefit of the listening, how the first six segments of the what we'll call the democratic budgetary process will take place, what people can do if they have concerns about budget, how they should be contacted to be included in the process, if you can update people on it.
Sure. I've already did out for the finance committee that has come up with two innovations. One of them is a budget timetable that should be in the hands of everyone. It tells what we'll do over the budget cycle between now and presentation to the board in September of the budget. But there's a new item there called budget priorities. And there, that was a call for budget priorities for all the stakeholders. So that is for the LSPs, for the GMs, the board members. What do you think ought to be budget priorities for the upcoming budget year? Now that's new. And what's also new is that many stakeholders are invited to fill out a ranking form, which came with the budget priorities, to identify what they think ought to be budget priorities in this next fiscal, and what rank the items that they've chosen ought to be ranked from 1 to 5, where 5 is high. So at least when the budget comes to the board, we have a sense of what various stakeholders in Pacifica not only think are important budget priorities, but what the rank of those priorities are. That's
what's the timeline on? So people know if they have input that they want to bring, when should they get with their LSP representatives or whoever to convey that?
Well, the budget timetable is published, and April 30th will be the date, because May 31st is when the draft budget, first draft budget, is begun. So I would take April 31st as the deadline for filling out those forms where people can say, this, I think, ought to be the number one budget priority for this station. And this is the second and third, so yes, ma'am, all of us see you vote. But it does give us more data to work with, so that we know not only what people think is important, but the rank, the priority, so important to them.
Thank you. Greg, excuse me, this is just one kind of little thing. I think we just have about 90 seconds for a question, 90 seconds to answer, so that people can get a chance to hear.
I am real excited to hear about the $750,000 major donation that's in a trust account. What that means. Is that the only major giving trust account that we have? And what I'd like the board members and the public listening to know that major giving programs are very valuable to this organization because over the long term they can offer a sustaining amount of money. And I would venture to say at NFCB they have workshops where major national folks who are experts in major donor campaigns are there to give workshops to the various stations. And for not specific that you take advantage of that at some point. Also, but my question is that the extent of the major saving amount that we have, or is there a report?
No, actually, it's not. And in my report, I did give a sense of the major donations is $1.3 million. And but this particular one is restricted. You know, if the interest can be the principal, except in site exigent situations, and we have not get the definition of exigent, but we will do that with the attorneys. It does not fall due until the end of April, so we don't have it in hand, but it is coming.
Okay.
Members?
Good morning. Thanks. Your office or the finance committee had a chance to come up with some cost us to bring everything we have in to ADA compliance.
That starts on my list. I wanted to mention that too. When we take on ADA compliance, there will be follow-on expenses for changes to facilities, changes to... Now, the ADA law, as I read it, doesn't require a level of prioritization to bankrupt itself in terms of putting in changes, but it does require a reasonable effort. And Pacifica has a commitment, of course. But if we were to look at the ADA requirements directly, we're going to want to have a look. I'd be happy to email them too. Some of them would like to read everything. But our friends in the disability community rightly point out that how can I get to a meeting if I can't get upstairs to the archives? How can I get to a meeting that is not accessible? And we as a progressive network need to look at what we can do for reasonable expense. Now, what my preliminary number is, if you're looking at handrails, ramps, which are fairly easy to do, and it would be around $50,000 $75,000 as a start. Well, no, we're talking elevator and API that's wheelchair accessible, elevator shed widening to handle, you know, the wider wheelchairs. Keep them very well, coordinate.
Sandy. Some questions, Lonnie. First, I know that at WBAI, due to the efforts of the program director, you recently attained a pledge of $100,000 for our building fund, and that was set up as a restricted account, and $1,000 already provided. So what is the status of plans for capital campaigns at BAI? And I know you've mentioned several stations. What are the plans to realize those?
There is a plan that management is looking at for capital campaign. While I was in New York, I did meet with a group in New York that provides low-cost loans for nonprofits to buy their own building at a real low interest rate, 3%. So that is in the works to buy one's own building. So those two things are can be followed up on and are realistic. That what they do is they take, you know, if you buy a building and create an enterprise zone, they give you basically keep the building at a very decent amount. So I think that promises forward to the line.
Okay, and my second question is you mentioned the need to fund the Spanish language program, and just wanted to remind the board and for the new members to tell them that this board passed a motion 14 months ago that the national office developed a comprehensive strategy to create a diverse funding base for the full implementation of the race and nationality policy, of which the Spanish language program was a subset, including grants, large donors, targeted donors, special mailings, on-air fundraising. You can pick on it and try to work on that, maybe with people in the finance committee. This, also the National Committee of Inclusion was supposed to be part of that.
What we have done is you get the finance, you look at the National Office of Numbers, and we did respond. This started the mail drop about 6 months ago, and we're continuing that.
Sorry, but that's not targeted to the race and nationality.
No, it's where we can get. access funding. So it's part of that program in our thinking.
Thank you. Next up, Sandy.
Thank you. I'm interested in considering three options. I'm interested in option three, which concerns changing the model for our stations. I gave you a report just before we started speaking, and it's really unfair to get into that. It was circulated by Donna Platt from KPFT. The summation of which says, well, we've got fewer listeners, and we're doing a real good job talking to them because they're getting more money. I made that point. I'm interested in hearing what your vision is of that new model.
No one model fits all stations. Each station has a different structure. But there are three possibilities. Conceiving a station as a freestanding entity, sort of in a relationship with just individual givers, is not a model that will continue to work for some stations. Well, that station, our financial advisor, and I would say you need to be able to address your financial state of ability scenario by having contacts with other progressive organizations that can be financially mutually beneficial, whether that may be joint funding, sharing elements, being able to expand the number of people that are aware of you through that process. The phrase I used at one point was organizational feelings. I still think that that is a viable model. Second model is rethinking how many listeners do you have that will make you sustainable. Maybe you're only going to have 20,000 listeners. They're not going to see growth. Okay. And some of those listeners are going to sell grandma's house, and they're going to decide whether or not they do a plan give to your station, whether they want to take that trip to Europe. So plan giving is an important component for us to be working on with the population that we have at the present time, because we're going to have to decide what to do with that disposal. Outreach is something that I can. That we need to look at it seriously.
Don, thank you, Lon. This is everyone. I want to address the process of how a local station formulates its budget and then sends it up for review, and then so on. So here are my questions. When the local station LSD Finance Committee, in conjunction with the general manager, works out a budget even to determine line items which the LSB and the general manager believe are important to have in there. For instance, let's say stringers in the news department. And we send that up. Do you have the authority then to look at that and say that those priorities really are not ones we think are the most important, and to revise it before it comes to board, or is the budget that's designed by the LSB and the general manager the same budget that comes directly to the board?
The way it works or not is if I get a budget from a station, I look first at whether or not the real expenses are included. Sometimes we have budgets where the expenses like union contracts essentially have been forgotten. They were not included. A whole personnel person is not in the budget. So I look at it for completeness. Well, the number that I have for those people I have, what is the cost increase in that benefits? What has been the CPD allowed? They won't know. So I look at those budgets and I call the GM for the finance committee and say, it's not in your budget. It has to go. Or if you think it, or I look for under budget. Managers and people with under budget items. So I receive my reports. I provide audit numbers for 2 years so that nobody's not going to know what it really costs. Then, in most cases, the GM will say, well, if the LSB want this in there, there's no way I can take that. I would say fine, but I'll have to impose certain items in the budget. It's not the rules that he stands there. If you take them there, we usually work it out. But I have ideas about how they balance the budget. That's not a challenge.
Just one brief follow-up.
No, we're in time.
Hold it there.
Okay, so let's go to the next slide.
this. We're already on a tight schedule. We're already behind, so I'm going to be very in fact, I think we have to start on thing. The first meeting, the first item of new business is the board meeting calendar. I sent it around to people. I want to point out that we can, I'd like to consider the in-person meetings first, and then special meeting second. If I can get everyone's attention. The June proposal is for June 2nd or June. Now, if we are dealing with our CPB diversity requirement by adding at large directors, the time frame on that is we need to act early in June. So I would strongly urge that we select June 2nd. It's also the case that Dr. West, the intellectual property rights attorney and professor, is able to join us that weekend if we happen to do it. I don't think that should be determinative if it's impossible for other things, but strongly urge us to play our own opportunity for the whole board to have an in-person discussion with him. It's not even certain you can do it, but it's 90% certain. But the pressing item is our dealing with the bylaws, adjusting our membership and the CPB requirements. So is June 2nd amenable to choices on the 22nd through the 24th, the 29th through October 1st. The reason to do it late in the month is that's our budget approval month. Money is going to be working furiously during September, pulling all those documents and getting them to us. Now, remember, in the past, there is it Rashana? Emma lapsed, and Ramadan. Those conflict with the end of the month. Are both of those conflicts for Ramadan? We're mandated to do it in September. Well, the September before that, the day before that, is the day before that. So I apologize for my ignorance. Would somebody like to move one of these dates?
Can we have a little discussion first?
What I'd rather do is we'll go ahead. Discuss.
Second. Okay.
Yeah.
be a great way to
so
live
the
Do you want 52?
Will you make a 752?
Yeah,
let's
move the
15 through the
17.
Is there a second?
I second the one of the five. Okay. Just ask how many people cannot.
Who cannot attend the 15 through the 17?
I will call to your attention that three people that are not here said that they could not meet on those days.
Is that more or fewer than those who said they could not meet on the 22nd?
Same.
And the 29th is the first?
The 29th is the first. Same.
All those in favor, maybe we need to vote. All those in favor of the substitute as the main motion, the 15th and 17th is the day for our September meeting. Please raise your hand.
Eight, nine, I don't have nine.
The vote please was what?
Resolve that problem?
fail because they didn't have the backing of three successive delegates.
Is there a reason we couldn't take the nominations from the committee so we were all in the
well,
same?
Well, can I just explain a little about how I came up with this wording?
I think you should spend minutes to describe it because all that's required is that you notice us that you're going to, that this is going to be the motion before us to vote on. If we can come up with an adjustment that's appealing to everybody, we need to do that right now, but we should spend too much time. Go ahead.
So I simply took the current section on that large remittance, and the only thing that's different is changing where currently it's kept one at large and making it two with appropriate adjustments. And currently it must occur by February 15th. The nomination must be submitted by February 15th of each year, and given where we're in a year, I'm removing that down at any time of the year. Other than that, it's everything you see here is the current bylaws as far as that procedure is asking about.
And I'm sorry, but it's a lot of information at the same time, so you're saying there's a one-year term from the date you're seated.
Right.
Is there a problem with suggesting that the nominations come from the PNB because it might be better that we start off on the same page if this group could agree on it?
Yeah, we could do anything we want. I was just using the old model as a boilerplate, but we could change it.
You say this is the least amount of change necessary to accomplish the goal, and I think any other change we would be foolish to do in the time we have talked about it. It can be amended later as well.
We need to start airing this bylaws change on the air for the next 60 days before we vote. So if we say we're going to take nominations from LSP and start tomorrow to get the ball rolling, we need to make sure what we want to say.
That's true. As is, once this is passed, if the ever brings this to college, if I can, but obviously once this is the motion, this is what we have to happen. Do you have an amendment?
Yes, I might move that it state that the nominations come from the PNB.
Is there a second?
My second.
We have six directors who are willing to put that amendment.
That's Dr. Mary, Jesus, Ambrose, Lisa,
what's the exact wording?
Section A nomination. Candidate selection as an at-large director shall be nominated by a majority vote of the Civic and National Board.
I'd like to handle this as a substituted motion and vote on whether the majority would like to substitute the original language. Is there any debate on whether or not to make a substitution? The substitution calls for the PNB to nominate people rather than three of the five SPs, if I'm correct. Is that right, Bob?
That's correct.
If there's a debate on it, then we'll go to a vote. All those in favor of substituting this motion for the one originally presented. Is there any prohibition that anyone's aware of for having two or before the board votes, and noticing the two motions, which would give us the option after further consideration and debate of these two options, which we want to select at that time. I don't think there is. So one possibility is for six directors each to each of these, and we have the debate at the time when we want to vote on. It might be a necessary difficulty.
Well, I think if there was division on this board, that might be a wise way to clarify the debate. Right now, I think it would just be confusion. I don't see any groundswell of our position.
Setting in place the subtle procedure for hijacking. This is moving toward a self-appointed board. This allows for the centralization of powers. An increased centralization of powers. This allows for the majority to amplify itself. This is a disaster. I don't know if you'd like to speak. I'll defer to them, but I'm just appalled at this. You're making the history, and you're setting yourself for it to take over.
That was what I was expecting to hear when we went back to our boards.
I'm wondering, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth, but is it possible for anyone to discuss the motivation for doing this?
I don't think it's wise, because we will spend time in the down motion. The reason I had suggested parallel motions is because I know we're going to have this argument, and it gives us the flexibility to address it if the objections are well taken after they're explained. Meeting without putting every other piece of new business we have on the table.
Okay, but point of order. I just need a ruling by the chair or someone. Even when we go back to our LSVs, can we discuss primary motivation why some of us supported this?
Of course. My understanding of the way the bylaws are written, and I admit that it is ambiguous, is that we have to vote on the proposal that was put before us by some directors. I don't believe we have if you read bylaws, it's not explicit. But I, as a precautionary measure, in order to give us the flexibility administratively, we could just, we could have the same six directors tonight, moving both, and then at the time, we'll just approve and defeat the other. Okay, there's been a motion to forth both. And may I ask if we can, actually, instead of just asking for a motion, will the six directors who really put forth the first motion continue to sign off on the signatories on the proposition?
Shall I read your name?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Is there objection to that?
Mr. Chair, point of information. First of all, the options that you're talking about, the parallel options, are the two here? Is that correct?
Those two, you have to change the date. The upper paragraph changes number, the lower paragraph changes date, and the motions change mechanism of nomination.
Mr. Chair, I would request that we have you to consider this question.
We're not considering the question.
We're considering the question, apparently, of two simultaneous motions. But I'd like to know what
that vote is. That is not the vote of the board to decide that six directors have the power to put it forth. The question I think is you'd like the text that I'm going to ask is that the makers of the second proposal please put it in writing before our unfinished business section later today.
And do I understand that the same directors are putting forth both motions?
No, there is some overlap, but it's a little bit. that were forwarded to us before the meeting that are in our board packet. One was carried through this motion on committee, which we'll be dispensing with your business. The other is Patty Ackley's motion on Paul D. Rienzo. After we get that, we will deal with new motions that have already been submitted to the secretary in order to take turns voting members and then any new business.